Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of
Praise
God.
Praise God. We thank God for this day. Amazing how the devil challenges us. I was on my way to church this morning after moving late. Can't blame it on my wife today. She's had to work. And got me a bottle of water, put it in the car, and went back in the house to get something that I forgot and found it. Come back and got in the car, and all of a sudden I'm going down Rainier Avenue and I felt something wet. And I'd sat on the bottle of the water. So the devil said, "You need to turn around." I said, "No, I need to explain this." So no matter what it looked like, I did have an accident, but I didn't have an accident on the way to church. I thank God for his saving grace. Thank God for our pastor. God has been so good. It's amazing how we forget to remember what we used to be. I mean, we brag about what we used to do. But when you think about what you used to be, it's awakening. And when we start doing that, we begin to challenge ourselves to examine ourselves. And the question is, how far am I from what I used to be? Amen? Do I still have the same temperament? Do I still have the same ideas and thought patterns? Come on and tell God thank you this morning. You ain't got to be quiet. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman. But we have to look at ourselves. And see, you know, we spend so much time looking at other folks that when we walk by the mirror, we don't even recognize who that is in the mirror. I told my wife, I said, you know, I walked by the mirror and didn't recognize myself. We need to start recognizing where we're at, but that is not what I'm preaching about today. God has given me a word today. A pastor called me, I think it was Saturday, and reminded me. Not that I had forgotten, but he reminded me, and then I said, well, let me get something. But you know, the world challenges in you are so prominent that you really can't focus sometimes. You know, I mean, the Bible is still the same 66 books. But sometimes you cannot focus because of the challenges of the world. And so I question that. You know, why is it I'm not able to focus? Because I love the Word. I'm part of the Word. I am the Word. The only reason I exist is because of the Word. But I cannot focus on the Word. So I said, Lord, what is it that you're trying to give me? And the question came, what are you seeking? And he took us to Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And when I start looking at that, it's basically a message on how to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Whatever you've been seeking, you need to change up right now and seek God. Come on and tell him thank you. Everything now, well, when you spend money, there are really only one of two ways you can spend it. You can waste it, or you can invest it. And it's the same thing about life. Whatever you're doing with your life, you're either wasting it, or you're investing it for heaven. No matter whether you're old, young, like they used to say, blind, crippled, or crazy, you still can learn something new. And God, when God wants to show you something new, you have to have the spirit of opening up your heart. Yes. To let this word work in you. It's unfamiliar to me to not to know that God is working. I've been practicing this for a number of years now. I'm not going down through the years. Over 30-something years I've been, preaching. But practicing started long before that. There, 6 and 33 say, but seek ye, Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first for all of his kingdom and his righteousness. Kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. If we seek God, that means we are actively investing our time, our minds, and our beings in seeking the presence of God. When we want to be in God's kingdom, we want to have a relationship with him. And he said, if you seek me, I can be found. But we're having this difficulty of understanding the purpose of and how to see. It's just not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. It is seeking him in all things. Somebody say all things. When it comes to money, you need to seek God. When it comes to health, you need to seek God. When we start looking at when and where to seek God, it's not because we got a problem. It's because this is what we do. This is how we live. He is my strength. Then we look at saying that his kingdom of God and his righteousness. It summarized that Jesus said, here is three words. First things first. Now, I know that sounds a little simple, but you got to look at the first thing first. You know, I was looking at, I had dinner with my grandchildren last night, and that was an event. I was getting to the restaurant, and they were already there. And little Cassidy saw me and screamed to the top of her voice, Papa! And the whole big old restaurant kind of got, because she's a little loud girl. She paid honor to whoever was first in her life that day. I don't know who's going to be first today, but last night, I was first. Papa, and then she ran over to me. And she hugged me, and then she wanted me to pick her up, so I said, okay. I picked her up, and she kissed me, and I got to think, that's the way we need to be with Jesus. That's the way we need to be with God. He is the Father. And we need to ask his permission for the different things we want to do. You want to start out wrong? Start out without God. And yeah, he can come in and save you, but you got a whole lot of problems in the process of waiting on him. He said, seek God first. Seek God in your dealings with each other. Now, I often say, I don't know how to approach this. So I'm going to wait till God gives me a way to approach it. My biggest challenge is that I really don't want to offend anybody. So I find myself at this stage in my life not saying anything. Just not saying anything. And waiting for God to open up the door and let him do what he's going to do. Because I'm like, I'll rush right in. Not trying to offend. But he said, and all his righteousness. When you see God's righteousness, let me give you the scripture that says, let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Now the Greek says that righteousness means image. So the righteousness of God means his image of God. We not only want to have the righteousness and relationship on the inside, but we want to walk where people can see his righteousness operating on the outside. Does this make sense? It don't make no difference on what you proclaim. It makes a difference on what you show folks. I drive the bus, and people have noticed that I'm a little different than other bus drivers. They come in and cussing and upset and want you to do this and want you. I listen. And then when they get up, I say, thank you. And I say, God bless you, though. Number one, I know they're getting off. You know. But really, I don't want myself to slide into something they can say, aha. You know, people have an aha moment about you. And typically, aha is not a good thing. But the spirit of Christ, the spirit of the mind and mind of Christ that operates in you will give you the temperament of operating like Christ. You will be long-suffering. You will be forgiving. You will be caring. You will know how to love. You will know how to treat each other. You know how to love your brothers and sisters as is yourself. You'll know all the things that he described. This is his righteousness. So people come up and say, I didn't know you was a preacher. What does that mean? I didn't know you was saved. What does that mean? You know, and I have to go back and say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? You know, what am I doing wrong? I don't think that I have to go around and wear a sign like the people downtown. They had these different signs, you know. And I got a sign that says, I'm holy. I'm saved, you know. I think that my behavior, my presence should command things to happen. I think that when I walk into a room, and my presence should put the whiskey away and put the cigarettes away and put the cursing away. You know, people should examine their own behavior because of my presence. It's not me, it's the Christ that's in me.
Amen.
It should happen that way. And when it's not happening that way, I need to examine myself. You know, we should be so powerful that our presence will make a dope fiend stand still. Make a drunk stop cussing. Everybody wants to apologize and say, excuse me, oops. When they're talking to you, that's the righteousness. And when I begin to understand we're seeking God and his kingdom and his righteousness, when you're living with God in you and his righteousness, you'll show something. You'll show something. And then we come to, he says, and these things, Lord knows we need some things. Huh? But the problem with things, it puts your priority out of perspective. Because we have to have a proper priority. Everything falls right here when it comes to seeking God. It is your priorities. He said, it is because Jesus already told us what our first priority ought to be. Seek God first. And when we jump in that line, that's going to line everything else up. That's going to line finances up. That's going to line marriages up, children up. Seek God first. And this means say, actively pursue him. To go after him. Sometime I couldn't find God to the left and I couldn't go to the right. But we got to seek him anyway. Sometimes you can't see the answer, but you got to seek God because he is the answer.
Amen.
He is the answer. I told a friend of mine that he wanted to see, he went to a church that he used to go to and he said, well, are you coming back? He said, some things have to change here. He told him that. And I said, well, you know, that might be the way you feel. But the reality is God is going to need to change you because you're worried about them. You can't have salvation for them. Does that make sense? You got to have salvation for you. Lord, fix me in this situation. Nobody want to do that when you're going through. They doing this to me and they doing that to me. Lord, fix me. Does this make sense this morning? Amen. He said that in order to seek the kingdom, you must first seek the king. But you cannot have the kingdom without a king. You got to seek the Lord first. And let's not get it confused. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can agree on that, right? And he is the representation of God to us, right? So he was called the king. And because he was called the king, it was not that he was taking the place of God, but as a representative to us, we need to seek him to find God. It's simple, ain't it? We don't have to make this a big math problem. Seek Jesus and you'll find God. He came here to lead us the way. He came here to inspire us, to give us a desire to be closer to God through Jesus Christ. God does not have any favorites, but he have intimates. He said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. God has promised in his word, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with me all your heart. Now, you want to look that up? That's Jeremiah 29:13. Seeking with all your heart. How many ever did anything wholeheartedly? And that's the challenge right there. Seeking God for no other reason than other, this is what I need for my heart. I mean, seeking God when there's nothing going wrong in your life. Seeking God where things just don't satisfy you. Some of us need to be satisfied, and I'm telling you, Jesus is a satisfier. Amen. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, first things, that means putting the Father first. If we do that, man, we can avoid a whole lot of headaches. You know, it's like, could have had a V8, you know? I mean, you get so far down the line, this old song, I wonder who sang that. I'm not a psalmist, but said, did you stop to pray this morning? Jesus wants us to first talk to him before you go. First thing in the morning, he wants to commune with you. Not this afternoon. Oh, I forgot to pray this morning. How you forget to pray? If you're seeking God first. I have to pray every morning, Lord, first of all, take care of my tongue and guide my steps. You know, some people probably do it a different way, but I think that taking care of my tongue puts me in the right perspective mentally. I don't want to say nothing, Lord, that doesn't represent you. My steps, I don't want to go nowhere that doesn't rep you. If I'm found someplace that doesn't represent you, I'm not seeking you. Praise God. Come on and tell him thank you. We have challenges. We have real challenge. How long you been saved? You got to go through something. Good times come and go. Money ebbs and flows. You know? Some day I'm rich and some day I'm poor. My cousin told me the other day, I said, I was blessed. Somebody blessed me. And I said, this show blessed me. He said, yeah, man, you got it going on. You a thousandaire. I thought about that for a second. I don't care how much money you get, you still ain't going to have enough. That's what they told Bill Cosby when he was getting ready to buy NBC. No matter how much money you got, you need a dollar more. Does that make sense? Jesus wants the first moment of every day. Jesus wants the first day of every week. Jesus wants the first part of every paycheck. He wants to be first. So, you know, I mean, bottom line is your tithes is first. if you want to keep getting paid. Because God will do things to make you understand that. And I'm not raising the offering. I'm just reading from what the Bible says. And then he asked the question, do you know what is faith? Faith is putting the Father first. And let me tell you something. Jesus does not want to be in a place, second place in your life. Faith, you operate in it. Every man is given a reasonable amount of faith. That's woman too. But everybody in here sitting on a pew, right? When you walked in here, you decided to sit on the pew and you had faith it would hold you. But you didn't enact that faith till you sat down. You don't know what God can do till you try him. You know, Peter didn't know he could walk on the water till he tried him. Does this make sense this morning? Where is your faith at? I can't do that. Well, have you tried? You know, you got to try and trust God. I'm so broke down, all I can do is trust God. I don't even have no new ideas. I'm not cracking jokes. I'm telling you what it is. I'm so dependent on him. Not just because the stage of life I'm in, but because I don't know any other way, because this is how I practice my life. I started out trusting him. And I couldn't let it go. I just believed he was going to do it. Right now, I don't care what comes up. I don't get twisted no more. Because I know who my Redeemer is. I know who my Savior is. I know that God is real inside of me, no matter what's going on. Come on and tell him thank you this morning. I believe that God has a plan. I might not be understanding it right now. I might cannot see it right now, but God got a plan for you today. But it depends on your level of faith. You might not have cancer faith. You might have bus fare faith. But you got some kind of faith. Amen? But when you need him, you call on him. Now, don't say amen if you ain't going to call on him and wait on him. You know, I see a lot of people come to the altar week after week all over the churches and stuff. And they come for the same thing. And I be wondering, does anybody ever get delivered anymore? Huh? I mean, if you're delivered here, why are you not delivered out there? Does this make sense? The power of deliverance depends on the faith of the individual. Let me say it again. The power of deliverance depends on how much you believe God can. He can do it. I was sitting up the other day, and we get habits, good, bad, or whatever. But we get habits. And I began to start dealing with my negativity. You know, when you've been negative for a while, and you say off-the-cuff things, and think people supposed to understand it, you really need to check yourself out. So I began to ask God, Lord, fix me. Change my mind about my approach, but change my vision when I look. Let me look at souls instead of negativity. And he began to work with me with that. And he started saying, telling me when I would look and things would come up in my mind, and he'd say, "But that's a soul. Change my mind from being negative about the behavior of sin." Because much as I love Cassidy, she was born in sin. All of us was born in sin. So what does that mean? What does that mean in behavioral science, that means that is your first nature. So what has Christ done? He's come in here to change your first nature from a sinful nature to a believer's nature, which is a delivered nature. Come on and tell him thank you this morning. Jesus wants all your time to have him to rule. If you're in his kingdom, he's going to rule over you. Everybody get on the altar, holler, save me. Say, save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. You know how, save me, Lord. Remember that old song? Nobody ever sang, rule me, Lord. Everybody want to be saved, but don't nobody want to let God rule. Because ruling to the flesh mean the fun is taken out of living. I remember one lady came and my wife was new in the ministry and stuff. My wife, well, she's on fire. She said, I'm gonna get her saved. I said, well, good luck with that. You know, so she was talking to the lady and so Sylvia told her, sister, you got to give up all your sins. And I backed up because I knew something was coming. And the lady said, well, how am I going to have some fun? She didn't say how. She said, how the H am I going to have some fun? I got to keep a few of them. Makes sense to the flesh. Makes sense to the flesh. Because I tell you that the most fun I ever had in life was with a friend of mine I had coffee with the other night. But I said, I was blind to happiness and peace. It was fun. But I wasn't happy, and I didn't have no peace. And she said, yeah. I said, you know, I got peace now. You know, and I have light moments, but fun is euphoric. Man, people do things to harm themselves and others having fun. But when you got Jesus, you got peace, which is way more better than fun. You know, it's a whole different concept. Take you a while to understand it, but once you accept Christ, it becomes crystal clear. That fun was leading me to hell. You know, that fun wasn't working. First of all, you're seeking for the glory of the King. Every part of you should be seeking for the glory of the King. You should not be seeking for the visual effects you have of mankind. I was at my friend's church in Flint, and he's got a big ministry, television, streaming, and I mean, he's preaching concepts. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But he got up, he was preaching, and I was watching how he did it. He put this foot forward, he stepped back, and he looked in the camera. I said, whoa, look at that. And then he went this way, and he looked in the camera. I said, okay, that's how they do that. And so I was thinking about it. I couldn't remember to do that, you know. But people sometimes are looking for the effects. Huh? No anointing. And he was preaching, had no Bible. It was living concepts. And this is the new ministry. I'm concerned about the church today, and I'm not taking away, but I just want to say this, that we're not preaching the cross. We're not preaching the bloody cross. It costs something for salvation. We need to tell the story so folks will understand that Jesus came for the purpose of dying for your sins. The bloody gospel is real. Hallelujah. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, you just can't let a piece of it go. Because your priorities are based on the fact that Jesus died for your sins and you are forgiven. You could not forgive yourself. people used to work for me. Maybe this wasn't the right spirit, but I got tired of people bragging about what they do. And I'm paying them. So one day, I told this one individual, I said, man, you can praise yourself. I think God did this for you. But if you can praise yourself, you ought to pay yourself. Some of us like praising ourselves. But when you think about who brought you this far, who delivered you when you couldn't deliver yourself, when you were caught in those situations that you couldn't see a way out, when you saw yourself dying and nothing could save you, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Somebody said, what shall wash my sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The song said the crimson stain of sin. It was the red blood of Jesus that washed me white as snow. Amen. We need to believe that the cross is a bloody situation. Don't take your salvation for folly or fun. There was a price paid for you. You're getting up in the morning means you've had an invitation with death all night long. Your broken heart needs the blood of Jesus. Your financial situation, you can plead the blood of Jesus. This is the day that we need to start thinking about our priorities. How do I get out this thing? It's the blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ today. We need to understand that when he came, he didn't come to make you rich. He didn't come to make you famous. He came to save souls. Some of us said, I'm all right the way I am. I go to church. Good for you. Question I have, how's that working for you? Going to church, but never making a commitment to God. How's that working for you? You're up and you're down. You're saved and you ain't saved. I can show you a consistent way of life. To this change that you can make today will let you live free for the rest of your life. If you apply the principles that Jesus Christ left behind. I thank God that one day he took this wretched person, picked me up and turned me around. But what was so beautiful about it, he wasn't through with me. It's a lot of things people get saved. Well, I'm saved. That's all I'm going to do. But he wasn't through with me. He said, learn of me. Learn of me. But learning does not mean getting information and not applying it. Learning is to get the information and be a doer of the word. Why? Because the blood has purchased it for you. This is our day. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I just have to say that. Because I don't care what's going on. I know I'm saved. I know who Jesus is. You know, I mean, I just know who he is. I want to read this to you. I'm about through. You have to change your personal priorities. How many of y'all want a new car? Amen. So what's your priority on getting a new car? Find it? Find it first, then what? Buy it?
Pay off the other one.
Huh? Pay off the other one. That's all you can do. I'm praying God for a new car. I'm asking God for a new car. I don't know what make it is. You know, I love two-seaters. But, you know, most of the time I can't fit in two-seaters. So, you know, so why should I ask amiss? Seek God. Seek God. And he will put things in your life that you never expected. To prepare you for whatever it is you need. Seek him. I just believe it because I have to trust him every day. I went to the doctor, and I've been getting these shots in my right eye because I was basically blind in my right eye and didn't want to admit it. You know, couldn't see at night. But here I am passing a test to drive a bus. You know, I was singing, help me, Lord. Going across that bridge at night, and you can't see that. You know, it was challenging. But then so all of a sudden, my glasses don't work. So I went to the optometrist yesterday, and they said, your right eye is 20/40 now. It was 20/60, 20/70 before almost. But it's 20/40 now. And you're right, your left eye, we could make that 20/20. I said, well, this is nothing but God. So let's understand the puzzle God put together for me. Retired, desired a job, gave me a job, didn't know why he gave me this job, gave my wife a job, set us up potentially to rebuild ourselves. This is all his plan. This wasn't my plan. How many go by God's plan and how many go by your plan? I remember I was on my boat. I had a sailboat. I used to, in another life, I used to love to sail. I had been a 30-foot sailboat. And I was down here in Lake Washington in December. You know, I love foul weather sailing at that time. And I ran into a sand barge, and I couldn't get the boat off. So I jumped in the water, because I was a powerful swimmer. And I tried to pick the boat up, couldn't do it. Tried to rock it free and couldn't do it. And so I looked, and I could see the shore. I said, well, look, I can't get back on the boat. I'm cold. My clothes are soaked, so I'm going to swim to shore. So I began to swim to shore, and I started getting cramps. And I started going down, and I kept swimming. I knew I could swim, but I said, what's going on here? And I said, looked out there, and I could see people standing on the shore, and they were screaming something at me, Pastor, blah, blah. And I kept swimming, and I kept going down. I said, man, I'm getting ready to drown, look like. And then pretty soon, I heard them. You know what they were saying? Stand up. I stood up, I was in this much water, you know. I'm telling you, if you listen to God and do what he say, you can walk to shore. Sometimes we feel like we're too far in there. And there's no way out. And God is saying, trust me. But there's water, trust me. But there's too much water, trust me. Somebody need to trust God this morning. Taking the cross, it says Jesus Christ came down through 42 generations. And he came not as equal to God, did not consider himself equal to God, but had the power of God. Power isn't given, it's granted. God granted Jesus, and he never stepped out of his position. His sole purpose was to come here and die. He was tempted, but he never yielded to it. He steadfast on his purpose in the Sanhedrin court, where they beat him all night long. He stood fast when they put the cross on his back. He stood fast when they nailed the spikes through his hands and into the cross. He stood fast when they sunk the cross into the socket of the earth. But then somebody said, I remember when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. The reason we're here today is Jesus was lifted up. I believe that Jesus is ready to lift us up because of our faith. He died and was put into a buried grave, a borrowed grave. He rose 3 days later as promised. He did this. He walked amongst men and women, and the dead rose also. This Jesus was bloodied for you, was stabbed in the side where water and blood flowed for you. This Jesus said, I'm coming back again. How many believe he's coming back? How many believe he's coming back? Looking for a church. And see, it's not this church building. No, he ain't looking for this building. He's looking for a church which is you. Without spot or wrinkle. That doesn't mean that you're perfected. You're in the process of being perfected. That doesn't mean that you got it all right. That means you got it all wrong, but trying to get it right. Amen. This Jesus is coming back. If you have not got your priority together, trust me, it's evident. First of all, it's evident to you. It's evident to you. Come on, quit playing. You know, we always want to forgive ourselves for what we do. Like me and my wife, ain't nobody but us. Thank God. I absolutely. I miss her today because she'd have pulled that water out the seat. You know, I miss her. I absolutely have been thinking about things without her. And I don't want to face it. I had to tell my friend whose wife just died. He said, if I could have did something to bring her back to life. I said, well, Jesus did it with Lazarus, but he still had to die. You know, I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my life. But most of all, I thank God for Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray. You know, those that can't stand, you got a baby in your lap. I understand that.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.